Bass Buzz Radio.
Hi, welcome to Bass Buzz Radio, and I'm your host, John Storm, and I've got Gabe Boulevard on the line right now, and Gabe is out fishing Kentucky Lake practicing for the FLW Tour event there in a couple weeks, but he's just coming from Beaver Lake where he finished with a top 10 and 7th. Are you there, Gabe?
Yeah, I am. I got you, John.
Well, Gabe, during that event, we were talking a little bit about a tip that you wanted to let folks know about, and that comes with fishing braided line. Can you repeat what you had told me before?
Yeah, I two tournaments ago at Lake Norman, I wanted to use my spinning rod so I could skip docks, and I wanted to be able to use some heavier line. You know, if you use a spinning rod, 6 and 8 pound line is pretty much ideal for a spinning rod. When you start to go heavier than that, you start to get line twist, and the line almost becomes unmanageable. So one of my good buddies has been using the braid to fluorocarbon leader on a spinning rod, and I was really skeptical to do that just because, you know, joining two lines together, I always thought that was just another opportunity for the line to break. So it took me a long time to get onto it, but I decided to try it and practice at Lake Norman, and I can tell you that it's something that I've totally fallen in love with. And basically all you do is, I've been using like 10-pound Strin Sonic braid, and I use 100% fluorocarbon by Berkley. I've been using 10-pound on the braid and 8 and 10-pound on the fluorocarbon leader, and you basically just join the two lines together with a double uni knot, and, you know, you can vary the length of leader depending on how spooky you think the fish may be. I've been using about a 8 to 10 foot leader that's normally, you know, a couple wraps into the spool with the knot, and I've had good luck with that, and the line is just a lot more manageable, and it's really, really sensitive, and you can, you know, get bit with your rod tip high or not exactly in the ideal hook setting position and just give it a quick snap and really get that, you know, hook buried in the fish's mouth. So it's something that if you haven't tried, I strongly recommend, you know, learn how to tie that knot. That's the trickiest part is the double uni knot. But once you learn how to tie it, it becomes a lot easier, and I think that you really like it.
Right, but you can't use a blood knot, which is sort of the typical way to join two lines. You can't use a blood knot in this case because the lines are dissimilar diameter or too dissimilar in diameter to have the blood knot work. So you use the uni knot, which, as you say, is a really simple knot.
Yeah, it is. I've never tried. I have heard some guys have tried the blood knot. I just learned with the double uni, but you can use it for, you know, all sorts of techniques. I know that I actually at Beaver caught a few fish, not a ton on topwater, and I used it on my, you know, my bait caster with my topwater, and that was really nice too. I was throwing like a medium-sized Sammy, and I was throwing it on 30-pound braid with 15-pound mono leader, and I had about a 4-foot leader on that, and you know, you can cast it, and it's good. You can get the hooks in the fish way out there. And it's another thing, too, if you're fishing a tour as a co-angler, especially, like with a spinning rod and a shaky head, it's really good because you can cast it so much farther, and you can really almost kind of long line it if you're, you know, going down the bank and you get bit way out there. It's really easy to get, you know, a hook in the fish's mouth. It's awesome. I mean, it's such a good technique, and it's you really have nothing to be skeptical. I mean, to tell you how strong the knot is at Beaver, there was a big old striper boiling, and I threw my topwater out there, and the thing bit, and I weighed it. It was like 32 pounds. It was humongous, and, I mean, I literally tried to break that knot. I mean, I tightened my drag all the way up and was just yanking and pulling on the fish, and, you know, it never broke. So I have complete confidence in it. If it's something that you haven't tried yet, spend some time to learn how to tie the knot and go out to your lake and, you know, give it a shot.
Well, it's certainly been proven in another arena, too. Back when Superline's first launch, in particular, you know, Fireline from Berkley, all the walleye anglers like the vertical, or a lot of them like the vertical jig with Fireline, but they're typically fishing real clear water, and they want a little lighter, you know, the fluorocarbon because of, because walleye can be line shy. So they've been doing the leader for years, and they're landing 8, 10, 11 pounders, jig and minnow, and there's no problem with the knot.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, that was my biggest thing was, you know, worrying about the knot. But It's just the manageability. So, I mean, I've had so many people come up when I'm rigging my rods at the tournaments and ask me, you know, hey, how do I manage the line on my spinning rod? It just, it gets crazy. You know, it comes off the spool and it does the same thing for me. And I can tell you that I used to, you know, put it on. I used to use like real magic trying to get it nice. And then I'd tie it to the boat and walk it and stretch it and try and get it as good as possible. But, you know, it still gave me problems. And this is nice too. And you also don't, you know, go through line. You put the braid on and you don't have to change your line much. All you have to do is have a spool to change your leader. I mean, I've had the same braid on now for two tournaments, and I don't, you know, there's no reason to change it. It doesn't go bad. So,
and folks just want to make sure that they use some form of backing on the reel. You can't put the braid right against the reel as you're stringing it, unless you're using the new Soron, which is built for something like that.
Yeah, I use backing on it. You know, the reel I use, you know, the biggest reels I can get away with. So, you know, there's a lot of spool on there, so I have a ton of line. But I use backing, and I just go right into tying the braid on and make my little fluorocarbon leader. I actually have been experimenting a little bit with the drop shot, too, and it works really good on a drop shot. You know, it's the same thing. So for a floating worm and even a small crankbait, like if you want to cast maybe like a shad wrap or, you know, something like that that's hard to throw on a bait caster, you can do the same application and then give yourself maybe a little bit of mono. The fluorocarbon is a little bit better for, you know, worms and jigs because the line stretch is, you know, you really don't want it. But if you're going to use something with a treble hook, you know, it might be good to use mono. That's what I've been using for my, you know, treble hook baits. And also, you know, you can get away with a little bit softer rod. You don't have to have something that's super, super like broomstick style heavy because, you know, that braid has no stretch. So when you rear back on them, you're going to get them.
Yep. Well, those are great tips, and we sure do appreciate it, Gabe. And good luck at the Kentucky Lake Tournament coming up, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks. I appreciate it, John. Take care.